Times are changing. While it certainly worked for a short period of time, prospects and clients are now getting sick of the over-automated, highly digitized outreach of the moment. And what's actually working best is going back to the human. But it's not your dad's door-to-door human sales. To tackle the sales landscape of today, you need a network and you need a personal brand, and you need a great system and the right tools to help you build and maintain that. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about building a network and a personal brand that you can keep with you for life. My guest is celebrated for pioneering innovation in the customer management category. He was the creator and co-founder of the award-winning customer management product Goldmine. In 1999, Goldmine was acquired by FrontRange, and my guest left to pursue other interests. During those years, he continued to watch the CRM market, and he saw that most of the CRM products that were serving small businesses moved up market and became more costly and more complex and fell by the wayside, leaving the market unserved and leading him to create Nimble. Which is an award-winning social sales and marketing CRM for individuals and teams that is ranked number one in overall satisfaction on G2 Crowd. So, John Ferrara, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Sarah, thank you so much for inviting me for a conversation where I hope we give others a little wind in their sails, because I think that's why we're on this planet, is to grow. And I think we grow best by helping other people grow. And so I just dig any opportunity that I can to share a little inspiration and education to others on how they could become better, smarter, faster in their pursuit of their dreams.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I absolutely can't wait to dig into this topic. To give us a bit of an overview, why do you care about the networking? Why do you care about the human? What is the kind of draw to that?
Well, I actually think that we feed on that. Like personally, we get energy from connecting with others. You feel it when you are having a conversation that's vibrant. And I think it's those moments of connections when you're truly being present with another human being and sharing what I call the five F's of life: family, friend, food, fun, and fellowship. These are the things that people remember you by. They're not going to remember me because I invented CRM and contact management. They're going to remember me because they have commonalities in life with me, that I love family and barbecue and cooking and backpacking or things like that. And so when you share your heart and soul with others, where you truly connect with them, they remember you, and it will outlast any issue regarding business that happens with price or deliverability or any of those things. People forgive those things. And when they think about you, they not only pick up the phone and call you, but they drag their friends with them if you've built a connection with them. And plus it's fun. I actually just dig people, right? I dig their stories, and I dig the moments. And I think that, what are you going to leave this planet with? You're not going to leave it with money, but you're going to leave it with maybe the memories that you've made out of the moments where you've been truly present and connected to others. So that's why I dig it.
Amazing. Well, very interesting. And it's amazing that the sort of sales landscape is heading back towards that. I mean, in all honesty, that probably never lost its power, but we found things that were easier and faster and we thought more effective. And that's where we threw all of our energy for about a decade now. And yeah, we're absolutely shifting away from that. So let's dive into how salespeople out there can go about building this human connection that you so value. Talk to me about the kind of misconceptions that exist right now on what a network is, a good network is.
Well, I think a network isn't the number of people that you have in your followers or following, or even how many likes that you get. I think that a network is the people that you've truly taken time to connect and stay connected with. The thing I want you to think about is the energy that a car takes to get to 60 miles per hour, the energy that a rocket takes to get into orbit. Most of it is initiating, getting to speed, getting to 60, getting into orbit. But to maintain the velocity, it takes really very little. And so think about the time it takes to build a relationship with another human being. It takes time, but to keep it going, it doesn't really take that much. And so I think that the more digital we get, the more human we need to be. And when everybody is using things like Outreach or Salesloft or some other automated template tracking messaging system, and they built a sequence that they think is just perfect, but in reality, the people that they're bombarding with their messages are just tired of it. How do you break through that clutter? How do you differentiate yourself? And you know, I just go back to the basics. In the old days, I used to teach people, when you go in somebody's office, look at their walls, look at the books they read, the degree of the school they went to, the knickknacks they collect. All these things are clues of who they are and what they're about and what they're passionate about. And you could use these clues to share what you might have in common in order to earn their intimacy and trust, to get them to open up to you about their business issues, which as a professional, you can then solve. And here's an example. So I was connecting with the CEO of Inside Sales, and I nimbled him before the meeting. And not only did I learn his business persona, like he pioneered the enterprise automated dialing systems, et cetera, but that he had two sons that were Eagle Scouts and that he was an assistant scoutmaster for 10 years. Now, I have two sons that are Eagle Scouts and I was an ASM, assistant scoutmaster for 10 years. And it changed my life, being able to help my sons grow and help other young men, and now I happily in America, women, to grow within the scouting tradition. And that intimacy of that experience opened up the door for us to have not only amazing conversation, but a follow-up relationship that resulted in some biz dev stuff. And so this is how you differentiate yourself, is take the time to understand who somebody is, what their business is about, and find a way to differentiate your communication so they know that you've taken the time to do your homework and that the offer that you're doing is relevant to them. And if you do that, you're going to get amazing open rates and people are going to pick up the phone and they're going to talk to you. And so I think that we need to just stop sending blasting generic messages and start taking the time to get personal.
Okay. What do you think the digital equivalent is of that, stepping into the office and scanning the room for those little knickknacks? Where do you look in today's world?
Well, I mean, people put their bookshelves all over digital, right? It's in Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Foursquare, whatever systems that people are happen to be using, and new systems evolve all the time. And so you can Google somebody before a meeting. At the bare minimum, you should do that. But I think that the reason why people don't do that, it's a lot of work, right? You Google somebody, maybe they don't show up. And if they do show up, there's a bunch of places to go scan. And most people are lazy. I'm just going to say that. Most salespeople don't want to take the time to do that. And so they need help doing that. And so what do? So if you think about the sales and marketing technology stack today, you have to buy a CRM. On top of that, you need some sort of sales intelligence. Now that could be Raintree, DiscoverOrg, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, whatever, but none of these tools give you the personal side. So DiscoverOrg or Raintree will give you the organizational structure and contact info for corporations. LinkedIn will basically do about the same, but not the contact info. But in order to really understand who somebody is, you need to Google them. And that's one of the reasons we actually built Nimble, because you can nimble people now. And when you nimble them, you get not only the business side, but the personal side. And think about it. If you walk into somebody's business lobby, you're going to get their business persona. But if you want to truly understand who somebody is, you need to go on a walk with them. And you could do that digitally today. It's really easy. And if you're not taking the time to do that, you're not going to pick up the clues that you need to differentiate yourself and break through the clutter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what does that look like in terms of trying to forge that initial relationship? What is going for a walk look like right now? How do you start to dig for those clues?
Yeah. So I'll give you another example. So we talked about personal brand and professional network. Why is that important? Because you want to establish yourself as a trusted advisor to not only your prospects and customers, but their influencers as well. How do you do that? You set up an identity in all the places where your prospects, customers, and their influencers have conversations about becoming better, smarter, faster in and around the areas of your promise of product and services. So for me, that's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, places like that. And then what you do is you share content to inspire and educate people about how you might help them become better, smarter, faster. You don't talk about how great you are. You don't talk about how great your services are, because people don't buy great products, they buy better versions of themselves. So you shouldn't be selling yourself or your company or your products, sell them a better version of themselves. So if you do that, then people are going to start following you, commenting on your posts, liking you, and also talking about you. So I have been doing this for 10 years. It's one of the reasons why I built Nimble, because as I did that, I started to build all these connections, and I wanted to build, take these connections and put them in my golden Rolodex, my personal CRM. And I saw that contact management, Google, Gmail, and CRM weren't built for relationships or social interactions. And so I have done that for a while, to the point where there are other influencers who talk about me. And then what I do is I listen and engage and go build a connection with these people. An example is one of the leadership team at Salesforce sent a post out, and she said, CRM isn't about command and control. It's about empowering customer-facing business team members. And this person, his Twitter name was Rand, said, bullshit, it is about command and control. And when are sales managers going to loosen their grip? And isn't this what John Ferrara at Nimble has been teaching and building? And so Nimble listens to people talking about me and surfaces ones that match the fingerprint of people that I should connect to. And so I was able to go into the Twitter stream, and Nimble sits inside of my browser. So right there in Twitter, and I hovered my cursor on him, and it automatically built a record for Rand and basically told me his company name, Walt Disney, his title, head of data and CRM at Disney, his email and phone number, and his bio and background. And so in that conversation in Twitter, I was able to respond to that conversation appropriately because I knew who he was and I had his background. And then I reached out to him on email to basically build the connection beyond the Twitter thing, because you need to take these soft connections and make them a little bit firmer. And so I emailed him and said, thank you. I was able to do that right from within the Twitter browser because Nimble sits there with me and I'm able to email, and I had his email because Nimble gave it to me because it does sales intelligence. And so that conversation shifted from Twitter to email to a LinkedIn invite from him to a LinkedIn messaging. And Nimble follows me through all those places in my inbox, in LinkedIn messaging. And in the LinkedIn messaging, I found out that he not only lives in my town, but his daughter goes to my school. And I believe that the more digital we get, the more human we need to be. And we need to take these soft connections and digital and bring them into face-to-face. So I invited him for breakfast, and there I just sat and listened to him talk. And look, if you listen to people, they will tell you everything you need to know to find ways to add value. We became friends and Disney became a customer. And this is an example of the power of your brand and your network, the power of being able to take these soft connections and turn them into firmer connection, the power of sharing content to build these connections, and the need to engage with people that respond to you and bring them into some type of system for yourself. Because Salesforce doesn't do this, Dynamics doesn't do this, HubSpot doesn't, none of the CRMs are really able to build your database and then work with you where you work. And you should be thinking about having a personal CRM, because you're not going to work where you work the rest of your life. Most people only work in 1 to 3 years at their company. And you need to take your brand and your network to your next job, which is why you should bring your network to work within the CRM that you're using at work, and then take that personal CRM with you wherever you go.
Very interesting. Why do you think that the likes of Salesforce Dynamics and then other tools you mentioned, just like Google Contacts, Outlook, whatever, why do you think they don't cut it as a personal CRM?
Well, there's a few reasons. Number one is Salesforce and Dynamics isn't building for the salesperson. They're building for management reporting and lead workflow. And there's actually a history behind all this, why CRMs, even though they say customer relationship management, are actually customer reporting managers, and they're not good contact managers, is because when Goldmine started back in the Goldmine Act days, there was no Outlook. So we were the Outlook of our day and the Salesforce, contact management and CRM. But Microsoft came out with Outlook, and that became the contact manager. Today, it's really not just Outlook. It's either G Suite or Microsoft 365, but that's the contact manager, and they don't cut it as contact managers because every single team member has a separate contact database, and the emails and calendars aren't linked to the contacts, and they're not linked to social, and they don't work where you work. So they're not good contact managers for you or your team. And CRMs, you go to them to use them. I say that your CRM is broken because you work for it. You have to Google people before the meeting, and then you have to go to it to put that data in. It doesn't live with you where you live. Some have plugins for email, but not everywhere you work in your browser. And so CRMs aren't built for customer facing business team members, which is why you have to buy sales intelligence and sales enablement email tracking to make them work. And so I believe the future CRM should be more designed for the salesperson as opposed to sales management.
Okay, makes sense. And okay, I want to go back to the idea of becoming a subject matter expert. As you explained, you want to be a trusted advisor in your space. How can people who are listening right now start to create these posts, as you mentioned, in the places where these, their personas or prospects are living, kind of Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever it might be. How do you start to write these posts that aren't selling, aren't making yourself sound like you think you're great, but are trying to sell that better version of your prospect to them?
Well, Sarah, that's a really great question. And I'm a math computer science major. I'm not an English major. So you can imagine that my writing skills weren't as honed as, say, a liberal arts major. So I actually don't even take the time to write many posts at all. What I do is when in the morning, when I'm having my coffee, I go and I read, I consume content, right? And so I follow other people that are inspirational in and around the areas of my products and services promise. So thought leaders in social sales and marketing. And then I curate the articles that resonate with me. And I use an app called Buffer. Sits in my browser and I'm able to buffer articles. And when I buffer them, I attribute the person's name. So say, you know, at Mark Benioff or whoever's writing the article. And then I attribute the category, pound sales, pound marketing, pound entrepreneur, pound SDR, whatever the inspiration is. And then I share that across identities that are appropriate, right? I wouldn't put an SDR article on Instagram, but I might put it on LinkedIn and Twitter. And I might put something about achieving your personal dreams on Facebook, right? It's more personal as opposed to like business stuff, right? So you want to make sure that you're posting the appropriate things in the appropriate places. And if you are going to share business stuff, you also want to share some personal stuff. So it's okay to put personal things in Twitter or even in LinkedIn because that's where people get to know you. So I post articles about cooking and backpacking in Twitter and even in LinkedIn, but also post business articles about how other people can become better, smarter, faster in and around the promise of my products and services. I don't write that content. I share content of others. And what happens is people who want to become better, smarter, faster at those areas of promise, social, sales, and marketing, they read it. People who follow the influencer read it. And then the influencer themselves reads it. And ultimately, I build connections across all those constituencies, especially with the thought leader, because if you build relationships with the influencers of others in your category, ultimately, you become one of those influencers, right? Mm-hmm. And so here's an analogy. When you go into a business function, a cocktail party, you don't just walk in the room and say, hey, anybody want to buy some predictable revenue? Right? You walk in the room and you kind of assess the situation, you look at different groups, and then you go stand adjacent to a group of people talking and you listen to the conversation and then you interject something appropriate that adds value at some point. Mm-hmm. And then people will then turn to you and say, Sarah, gosh, you seem to know a lot about building predictable revenue streams. What do you do? And you go, well, I happen to actually work at a company that facilitates that. And that starts the conversation. And then when new people walk in the room, they see you with those thought leaders, all of a sudden you become a thought leader. And this is how you build your brand and your network, because it's really, really easy. But the problem is if you do what I say, share content that's inspirational, educational, in around the areas of promise of your products and services, and then you connect, not with the intent to bag and tag them, sell them, but to intent to find some way to add value, you're going to build thousands and tens of thousands of connections around you. At that point, you need a personal CRM to organize those contacts so that you can effectively outreach in different ways at different times for different purposes, because your network is your net worth. But if you don't manage it, then you don't get the gold out of it. And I used to have a saying in Goldmine, turn your contacts into gold. And ultimately, it really is about that. The more effort you put into your relationship goldmine, the more benefit you're going to get out. But I think the main benefit of a network and relationships isn't you making money. It's helping other people grow at scale. Because if that is your focus in life, not making as much money as you can, but helping grow as many people as you can, then you will be blessed with riches the rest of your life.
Absolutely. So you mentioned back to that kind of party analogy where you become one of the influencers because you're starting to have these interesting, meaningful conversations with them. You're associated with them. There's that, but there's also the fact that then if somebody asks like a question, who knows about predictable revenue, all those people that you've spoken to and shared with go, oh,
yeah,
you know, light bulb, Sarah, I remember her talking about that.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. So it doesn't even have to be self-authored content. It can be curating, as you mentioned, curating others' useful, valuable content. But the most important piece is that it is providing that value to the people that you want to converse with.
That's right. It's curated
for that audience.
That's right. And then the next most important thing is if you drip this knowledge out there and think about the social river, right? The social conversations is like a digital river flowing by your life, right? And so you're dropping these fishing lures in there to drip knowledge, drip inspiration. You need to listen and engage, because if you just drip the knowledge, then the fish are gonna come by and bite the worm off, chew the worm off the hook and just go away. And what you want to do is you wanna start the conversations like I did with Rand that result in relationships and opportunity. And so here's a simple formula. In the morning when you're having your hot cup of whatever you drink, if you do drink coffee or tea, then you read and you drip knowledge for 30 minutes, right? So let's say you buffered out like, you know, 8 pieces of content or so for the day. And then in the afternoon, you go and look at the signals of the people that bit on it. Mm-hmm. And you use a tool like Nimble to hover on their name and wherever you are, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, email, whatever. And you basically determine if this is somebody that you want to put in your personal CRM. At the very least, you respond. And when you do respond, because you know who they are, you know what the business is about, you can respond appropriately. And then determine if this is somebody that you want to put into your network. And then once you do put them in your network, you might actually put a task on them, because you might run into somebody that like I ran into the CEO of Service Titan, which just got, I don't know, $700 million worth of Series F funding. Like they're really great local startup. And so I saw that article in the local business paper, and I built a record for the CEO. And then I reached out to him directly from within Nimble and congratulated him, which started a conversation. And now we're going to look at doing an integration between our two platforms as a potential thing to work together. And this is sort of the natural thing. Look, if you depend on your marketing team to give you the leads you need to hit your numbers, you're not going to hit your numbers.
Yeah.
Because marketing can't deliver the type of leads and the quantity of leads that you need to really just knock it out of the park. So you need to depend on yourself to do all this. And to do it, you need a process and you need tools.
Absolutely. And not only is the marketing lead, you know, not going to have this degree of humanity that you're bringing to it, but it also stays with that company. You're not taking it anywhere else after that. Okay. Very interesting. Let's talk some more about taking this network and converting it into an opportunity. So you mentioned that the first kind of step is taking these soft connections, these digital connections, mm-hmm. and making them more firm connections.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some ways that people can do that? So say, John, you and I connect, I want Nimble to be a client of predictable revenue eventually. But the first thing I'm going to do is engage with your content, share something I think is valuable. We make the connection. Where do I go next?
Well, I think that you've already kind of started to do it, right? Like after our conversation, I think you sent me an invitation on LinkedIn, and that's sort of like the business card exchange. It's like going to my lobby. And I think that the next thing that you might want to do is sort of walk in my digital footprint. Twitter, I think, is the most natural place. If they do a Twitter stream, the next one might be Instagram. I think the next one after that might be Facebook. I think that Facebook is probably a little bit more personal until you've established a relationship. But I think that Twitter and Instagram are kind of fair game. And Nimble basically will map out all the identities for all those places for most people. And so just walk in the digital footprint and begin to add some value to them. And eventually they'll respond and you start to build this sort of connection, and you'll find other ways to communicate. Like at the same time that we are sort of communicating on a business level, we're also doing some communication on a personal level as well. And that's how these things sort of start, in a give and take kind of thing. And eventually opportunities surface themselves where they need to be. You need to trust in the universe, I think, to a certain extent to be successful in life. I have throughout my life. I really believe that if you put your dreams out there to the universe and you're present enough to listen to when the universe knocks and brave enough to open the door and walk through it, that's the magic of life. And I think that people who don't believe and trust in a higher power miss out on the magic of life. And I think there's plenty of magic out there. It's happened to me, and I encourage you to seek it out.
Interesting. So yeah, you're speaking about you've got to put yourself in front of them. However you do that on these platforms, you start to engage, you start to build these connections. And then you've got to basically just be ready to capitalize when an opportunity presents itself. What are the clues that one can look out for that the universe is knocking?
Yeah. So I think that, we just closed a 155 seat deal, and it happened out of Ireland. And somebody reached out to me on, at Twitter message. And they basically said, "Hey, John, we've been using Goldmine for 15 years, and I really like what you're doing at Nimble. I'd like to get some help with something." And I might have missed that message, right? I mean, how many times have you just missed messages, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I saw it and I responded to it. And then there was just a couple other conversations, and then the magic just sort of happened. And so I think that you need systems and tools to organize things. Here's an example. That Twitter message was off in another place, way away from my CRM or my contact tool, right? And if I didn't have Nimble plugged into my browser where I could hover on his name and turn it into record and create a task to follow up, that thing, even if I responded, it would have just sort of floated away like a leaf in the wind. And so I think that the struggle that we have in our modern world is that conversations aren't just happening in one place. They happen across a number of places, and they shift back and forth through those places. So, you know, the guy's reaching out to me on a Twitter message, not an email, but actually that was good for me because my email is a slaughterhouse here. I'm gonna scare you here. I don't know if you can read that number. If you can read it, it's a lot of zeros. 500.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's like 528,000.
Unread, right? So he was good to reach out to me on Twitter message, but sure. If I didn't build a record with a follow-up and follow-through, I would have lost it. And I think that with a lot of contacts, if you don't have a next step, then they're just lost in the wind. I mean, I don't know how many connections you mm-hmm. have across all your networks. I think I have hundreds of thousands of them. And how do you determine which ones are the needles in the haystack, which ones need a follow-up and follow-through? It's really hard. And that's why you need to organize it, especially if you do what I say, which is build an identity across all the places where your prospects and customers and their influencers have conversations, drip knowledge on a daily basis, listen and engage with the intent to blow wind in their sails, not to bag and tag and close them, rinse and repeat. If you do this, magic will happen in your life.
Amazing. Okay. Well, for the sales reps that are watching right now, and they're like, absolutely, this is what I want to be doing. I don't want to lose all my valuable contacts from job to job. I don't want to have them all stuck in LinkedIn. And then what am I supposed to do with them? How do I sift through them? Let's talk about the steps that they can go out and take and start today that will help them build this personal brand, help them create this network that they can carry with them from place to place throughout their entire career. And of course, a key part of that would be a tool like Nimble. And that seems to slot in, it's the relationship management piece of it. But what is the piece what's the first step, absolute first step that somebody's got to take today to get started?
Well, I think that what you want to do is just do an analysis of where your prospects and customers and their influencers have conversations in and around the areas of promise your products and services. And I think for most people, that's going to be Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And I'd also build an identity in Instagram because I think a picture tells 1,000 words, of course. And then I'd begin to listen and engage in the content that's occurring in those places, and then start curating knowledge. So you could listen and engage with just the UI of those platforms, or you can go and get tools that will help you identify content and influencers that resonate in your categories. There's an application called BuzzSumo that does something pretty good along those lines. And then what you want to do is start to curate that knowledge. And I use a tool called Buffer app to do that. You could use something like Hootsuite. And I think there's some other tools that will curate content as well. And then you would then listen and engage with the people that are engaging with you. And then the people that you want to put into your personal CRM, then you need to have a tool for that. And of course, I would recommend Nimble. And if you go to nimble.com and you sign up and you dig it, I'm going to give you 40% off your first 3 months. Just use the code JON40, John 40, when you subscribe, and we can save you a little bit of money.
Nice. Very cool. I will say that's probably something that the sales reps are thinking to themselves. How do I justify making this purchase myself? Because of course the company is making the purchase for most of the tools that they'll be using. Yeah. How would you tell them to justify that to themselves?
Because when they walk out the door, their contacts aren't going to walk with them. And Sarah, you have met many amazing people in your job at Predictable Revenue, not just the people through your SDR roles and leadership roles that you've done, but also on this podcast.
Yeah.
Imagine when you transition, what that network of people might be of use to you in your new role. Maybe you're going to go do some other podcasting things or start your own company or whatever. You've met a lot of people that could help you. And if you don't put them in your personal CRM, then you can't take them with you. And LinkedIn is not a personal CRM because they won't even give you the emails back for the contacts that you put in there, let alone their phone numbers or their addresses or even their city, in I think in some cases now. And Google Contacts is not a good CRM because you can't put their background stuff in there. It doesn't build records for you and it doesn't go work with you wherever you work. And imagine, so they give you Salesforce or whatever CRM to use at your company, and you get this lead, right? And so you have this lead, John Ferrara. Well, who is John Ferrara? So you got to go Google him. Imagine if you have your own Nimble, not only could you automatically build a record for that person right there within the CRM that you're in, but you could actually, for the people that you want to maintain a relationship over time with, put that contact in your own CRM within the other CRM. So you could actually highlight a name in whatever application you're using and Nimble will automatically build a record within Nimble. And so then you could essentially the contacts that you make, you could take with you and you're gonna be hired on your brand new network in your future job. I guarantee that. And if you don't have that organized well, then you're not going to be able to reap the value of that. And so how much is that worth to you? What is your brand and network worth? I'm going to argue that it is your net worth and that you should be investing in it on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. It well justified to me. And I think everybody would absolutely see the value. The last question that I want to ask you, because of course you have been, you've been able to foresee a lot of trends that have come up in the sales world. And that's why you've had these two successful CRM businesses. Tell me about what you see coming on the horizon now in terms of the sales landscape and how it's all going to work for salespeople.
Well, I think that there's going to be a pushback to all the automation. I think there already is, right? We're already feeling it. I think we're going to feel it more. And I actually predict that somebody's going to go build a tool that will sense the signature and in an email header of the sales lofts and the outreaches and basically just block the emails, you know, just flag them, put them in a folder. Because it's like, if you're going to send me an unpersonalized message at scale, goodbye, right? So I think that the more digital we get, the more human we're going to need to be. And I think it's the people that differentiate themselves as people that actually want to serve others as opposed to sell them. That sale is a four-letter word. And I think that service is the new sales. And if your intent is to make as much money as you can in the world, then I think that you might have the wrong purpose in your life. And I think that the higher purpose of serving others is going to begin resonating with people on this planet. I think that we went through this phase of the fill up my garage with of shit phase, right? And going through a thing like this pandemic, I think has sort of resurfaced the inner humanity and beauty of the world and the purpose, right? And so when they put me in the grave, I'm not going to be able to take my beautiful house with me and all my beautiful toys, but I am going to take the vibrations of the moments I built with others. And so I think that salespeople should examine, why are they on this planet? Are they on this planet to make as much money as they can, or make as much memories out of the moments that they have with others and help as many people as they can grow? So I think that the whole bag 'em and tag 'em, enterprise, Oracle, sales rep, because if you think about it, Siebel and Salesforce were created by Oracle sales reps, right? Tom Siebel and Mark Benioff were graduates of the Oracle bag 'em and tag 'em, shoot 'em the head, enterprise sales people, and their systems are designed for that. And I think that that they do work for at scale, lead processing, whatever. But I think that a serum's going to rise amongst the debris that actually serves the salesperson, and that we're gonna move beyond salespeople being concerned about their brand and network. And every business person is gonna recognize that they need to stand out from the crowd, and that they need to be worried about their brand and the network. And they need to adopt some tools and practices to do that. Because look, everybody in the world is going to start doing this, and it's going to become mm-hmm. so noisy and cluttered that the only thing you could do to differentiate yourself is the humanity of your soul, where people can see and feel you and they connect with you. And I think that's why I resonate with people is my humanity, just my soul. I mean, if you can't feel my heart and my soul, then you're not fucking alive, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you touched on that piece, because as you're speaking about this, the humanity as a focus is going to emerge in a big way. And I was just thinking, well, what happens when everybody does it then? What happens when LinkedIn is absolutely plastered with these people creating personal brands for themselves? And I was going to ask you, how can you possibly hope to compete? But you answered that question. The only thing you have left to differentiate yourself is truly yourself. The essence of you is all that you've got left to differentiate. And you can, if you're authentic, because people will always, especially in sales and business, people will always push something. And I think it'll always be a vast minority that can be truly authentic and find a way to expose yeah. that soul in all of their interactions. Amazing. Thank you so much, John, for coming on the show. Such an interesting topic, because it's so topical right now. You've given us some really great tactics to achieve this thing that we all need to figure out how to do, and quickly. And of course, really interested in the tool Nimble. It was really exciting for me to hear what that does, think about it for myself from a personal brand perspective. And I'm sure the same for all of the salespeople in our audience and leaders alike. As you mentioned, your network is your net worth. And in order to succeed and kind of have longevity and maintain all of your network, you need to be able to store them somewhere and kind of keep coming back to them. So once again, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. It was a pleasure to have you.
Yara, it was a real pleasure for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.